Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of your champions, Shelburne Football Club. I am joined on the first pod of the season by... Oh, I could make a lot of comparisons here. I won't because it's low-hanging fruit. But nevertheless, the Cleary brothers. Ben, hello.
Hello, Duty.
Dazzler, my boss, how are you?
Stephen, I'm not your boss. Vanessa is your boss. Hello.
Correct. Correct, Anroy. Look, we're back probably a week earlier than we thought we were going to be. A few disgruntled listeners got onto all of us, I think, at different times, giving out that there hadn't been a pod since the end of the season. So here we are, a week earlier than scheduled, but plenty, plenty to get through. Ben, how's your off-season been?
Not as off-season as I probably would have liked. It's busy, but I like keeping busy. Look, I think there's been a lot of signings, a lot coming in the door. We've been busy as the champions, of course, especially over Christmas. So it's been busy, but it's been nice. I've enjoyed every second of it.
Do you get paid by the busy, Ben? Every time you say busy, yeah, someone gives you a fiver.
Actually, you give me a fiver. You're my boss.
The gaffer. Dazzler, I would say have you enjoyed your bit of time off, but I know in that role you're in, you're probably busier now, are you?
I love it. Like I hate this woe is me, you know. Someone goes to an away game and they put up a picture.
Oh,
about
don't.
What time their morning starts? Like, yeah, fuck it, you busy morning, blah blah blah. It's amazing. It's there's never been a more exciting time in the history of Shelburne Football Club that I can remember. So it's busy and it's brilliant. And I've loved the off season. Everything has gone really well. It feels a bit disingenuous because there's so much positivity. I mean, there was times last season you're waiting for the positivity to turn and it never did. Record season tickets at an amazing number. I think it's at like 2,300 or close to 2,300 now. Absolutely bonkers. The jersey is selling, the most popular jersey, Shell's jersey in history. You can't get a ticket for Tolka Park. It's brilliant.
It's all good. Is it all downhill from here? Like, where do you go from here? Like, it's very weird. We did it. Champions last year. Nobody gave us a sniff. I did hear somebody actually this week saying that we're not the champions anymore. You know, once the teams come back for pre-season, that's it. You're not the champions anymore. Ben, don't think I subscribe to that one, do you?
No, I think for the remainder of the season, you will be saying the podcast, the champions.
Oh, it will be. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that won't change. That's ridiculous. We're still the champions and we will be till someone else lifts the trophy. And we'll see where we are at the end of the season.
We will. Look, we'll do a preview kind of the season next week in terms of other teams and what we think, where other teams might finish and all that type of crack. But Dazzler, I need to address something straight away because it's very important. You now need to let the people know who was responsible for the billboards over Christmas, because it was one of my favourite Shell's things I think I've ever seen.
I don't think the person responsible would be appreciative if they got the credit, but it was amazing. It was another brilliant thing. I smiled every time I went by one, and there were quite a few to go by. So credit to the person who did it. They know who they are, and they're responsible for bringing extra joy to Shells fans at the happiest time in their life, at the best time of the year, much to the annoyance and piss boiling of the Dublin football public who are not Shells fans.
Do you know what I enjoyed most about Ben? Nobody even, like, obviously Shells people, left, right and centre, putting up photos with them. Just, like, I had people from work and stuff who would have no interest sending me photos of it going, geez, I just walked past this in town. What, like, what's going on here? The best part of it was the radio silence from the League of Ireland bedwetters. Yeah. Nobody was even giving out about it. That's how you know it's good. Like, nobody was like, look at these. Like, who do they think they are doing this stuff? It was just radio silence. That made it so much sweeter.
Yeah, it did. I think I was kind of expecting a few people to be, like, throwing toys out of the pram, but it was nothing. But you can just tell underneath they're just miserable and they're so angry and they're raging. It's not them. So that kind of makes it a bit sweeter.
Definitely did for me anyway. The off season, it seems like so long ago now, that like winning the league, spanking at London, the cup final, like does seem like an awful long time ago, but I kind of flicked back through kind of to see what sort of stuff has happened in the off season. Like, the manager won the Soccer Writers Personality of the Year. The Soccer Writers Goalkeeper of the Year was Conor Kearns. The Sports Direct Golden Gloves was Amanda McQuillan. Team of the Year on both sides with Paddy Barrett, Mark Coyle, Pearl Slattery, Alex Kavanagh, Keevan Noel. The manager, of course, Damien Duff. The PFAI Manager of the Year. Dazzler, your phone must have just been constantly going with arrangements of these gigs and times and trying to organise people. Must have been a bit of a headache.
No, I loved it. Like, I genuinely, it was so much fun, because there's been times where your phone is gone and it's about, you know, Shells have been relegated after losing to Longford, or group chats and meltdown while you're getting humiliated by Athlone. So when it's positive and when it's optimistic, you just get such a buzz off it, and like you're trying to, at one stage I thought, oh, are we dragging the arse out of it here? But it's like, why would you temper it? No one will ever look back and say, I celebrated a bit too much there. But you might look back and say, I didn't make the most of it. So everything there was to do, I did it and went and enjoyed all of them. The RTE Sports Awards duty as well, I think we lost out on both of them, but even to get nominated, like, I can't remember the last time there was a League of Ireland club to get nominated, probably Dundalk with their famous European run. So yeah, it was all, I'm not going to complain once. This is the most positive you'll find me. It was amazing.
Can't imagine what it was like being at those RTE Awards, because that was a long L slog. I was watching it going, right, come on. Like, where's the Reds? Come on, where's their video? Where's their, you know, interview or whatever? Whoa. Long day, that. And I'd say you probably had to keep the lads on the straight and narrow that evening, I'd say, did you?
Weren't they back
from pre-season? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Jeez, that's a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I would doubt a drop was drank. But even to be a part of something like that is fantastic. To see the amount of people who were coming up and speaking to the players and congratulating them from other sports, you know, Olympians, rugby, GAA, what have you. It was a brilliant event, and credit to RTE for putting it on. I'm sure we'll get to RTE at some stage in the podcast. But no, that was a brilliant day. Probably a bit surprised that we didn't win it. Like, if you don't win it at 25-1, maybe a football team's never going to win it. But a brilliant occasion, and just like, there's no better way to win the league. I've seen a few of them as a fan, and this is definitely different gravy. It's completely eclipses anything else that's ever happened at the club. 2004 for me, 2019. It's out in front by itself.
I'm about to sound like a real old fogey here, and I know I'm aging myself terribly, but the last time you won the league, the Premier Division in 2006, there was no, like, social media wasn't what it is now, and all that spotlight and that instant kind of, like, everyone sees it. Like, it's everywhere. You're not just in the paper or on the radio. Like, it's everywhere. And I haven't once tired of seeing that 2024 champion stuff. It I don't think it ever will get boring, to be honest with you. You said there, look, the RTE Awards is a great thing to be a part of. I do just want to highlight one thing that did just before Christmas. Look, we were lucky enough to be asked to help out in some small way, but the visit to Temple Street Children's Hospital, it was just an amazing... It sounds a bit strange to say it's an amazing experience, but when you see what's going on in there on a day-to-day basis, between parents, the kids themselves, the staff, then it was probably an emotional day is probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, I think you really kind of captured it there. It's highly emotional. You kind of, I think, leaving with Darren, just your family, and you're kind of reflecting on, Jesus, like, some things aren't as big as you make them out to be. Some troubles, when you see what other families have to endure at Christmas, and just being given the chance to go in and play a small part to put a smile on these kids' faces at Christmas, just, it was magical. And it, like, one of my proudest moments as being a part of the club and helping out, and it was big. It just, it felt like it was such an important thing to do, and like, the manager played a massive part in it, and Sean Gannon as well, and Smith's obviously with the toys, but just to see how happy the kids are, and they just put a smile on your face no matter what they're going through.
Yeah, you've captured it perfect there, Ben. I just wanted to mention it because it is something that, like, it was just the type of experience I don't think you'd, you know, most people don't think of it because you don't have to, but I think when you're there and you kind of see it, it definitely hits home for people. So I just think it's important. It's a great thing the club did. It's a great thing Smith did, as you mentioned there, Ben, as well. So, it's just good stuff to do. Look,
massive credit to Sean Gannon, because it was, I don't think he'll mind it being said, it was his idea. He'd done it with Dundalk a few years ago, and I think it was, he first mentioned it 2 days after he won the league, the Sunday in Paddy Brown's. That was the thing that was at the forefront of his mind. So just an amazing thing. Like, you know, sometimes there's a perception with footballers or athletes that they're just not in tune with that kind of thing, or that they don't place enough value or stock in it. It's an unbelievable group of people. Credit to Sean, obviously the manager, massively bought into straight away. The toys were his idea. He didn't want to go empty-handed. Wanted to bring a bit more Christmas cheer. And then obviously Smith's, Neil Doyle from the Shell side, just completely bought in, supported it. But they could have been anywhere else in the world 2 days before Christmas. Went out of their way to arrange it, be there, spend the time, and it's just, we're very lucky to have remarkable people involved in the men's first team, the players, the staff, the women's first team, Pearl Slattery, Rachel Graham, who just at the drop of the hat are there and so giving with their time and energy at a time where, you know, really they don't have to. It's the off season. You can go on off and lie on a beach for it. You can sit at home and eat Jacob's Kimberley if you want and drink tea. But they were unbelievably brilliant and selfless and just fantastic representatives of the club and themselves. And yeah, I know you've both said it, it sounds a bit cheesy, but it probably is the thing that sticks out the most as a real highlight of that few weeks, because it was a magical time.
It feels very strange to go from that to back to kind of football related stuff, but there's been comings and goings obviously on the playing side, but I'll start with the kind of more off the pitch stuff, I suppose. Dublin GAA fans wouldn't be any kind of stranger to this name, but I have to say, when I seen Tomás Quinn announced as the CEO, I went, "Jesus, never, that's a new name." It's not until you see obviously the mossy part of that name that you kind of tweak who it is, but Dazzler, you're probably the man to ask here. What an appointment. Like, when you look at the background, the stuff he's achieved with Dublin GAA off the pitch, seems like an incredible appointment.
Yeah, it does. I mean, probably came in at a similar time for Dublin GAA. They were trying to capitalise and harness the success on the pitch into improving things off it, turned them into a commercial juggernaut. Like, the numbers are all publicly available, but just completely blew the revenue out of the water, improved how they operate as an organisation. Probably similar enough, county boards generally operate voluntary, oversaw an air of professionalism within Dublin GAA, which then correlated with massive success on and off the pitch. And I think those two things go in tandem. Like, you, very rare that you see someone that's a complete basket case off the pitch be successful on it. So it's a brilliant appointment. It's a very, very ambitious appointment to be able to lure someone from a very, very good job in one of the most high profile sports organizations in the country. And that's what Dublin GAA are. Is a real statement of intent, and it's one that probably went under the radar in some senses because of the time of year it maybe came at, but it's massive for the club. And if you wanted to show the direction the business is going in as a business, and you wanted to illustrate the upward trajectory it's on, you just pick out that appointment and point to that, because in so many ways it's incredibly positive.
Feels like a statement appointment, Ben, doesn't it? It feels like a real, like that, as Dazzler says, you've kind of taken somebody who's at, like, a serious job. Do you know, you've not kind of, we've gone past the point maybe of giving people opportunities now. It's more so, look, we're top of the pile here, so we want other people that have been at the top of the pile as well.
Yeah, I think it just also shows kind of how attractive the project of the club is, and the trajectory of the club and where it's going. I think as soon as it announced, like, I got on to Darren and I was like, that's massive. That's big. Like, that's very forward thinking. Like, he comes from an organization where it was gaining momentum. He stuck a rocket on it and it flew. And again, as Darren said, turned it into a commercial juggernaut. Like, he has elite experience on and off a pitch, understand the dynamics and kind of how things work in elite sports. So I think it's a massive appointment, and it's only very positive for the club.
There's been other appointments as well, probably closer to the pitch. You'd say Gemma Murphy's come in as the Women's Academy manager. That's a name that, especially on the women's side of the game, a lot of people will know. She's been an Academy manager before with CK United. That's Carlo Kilkenny, for anyone that doesn't know, or saying, I've never heard of them. They are in the underage setups, so they obviously don't have a team in the league, but it's more academy based. She was the assistant manager with the Treaty Women's team, and more recently she was the assistant manager of a one Kieran Kilduff at Lawn. So again, Dazzler, like, that's a name appointment. Like, you know, you're going out and it feels like you're kind of headhunting people rather than saying, right, who's going to want to take this job? It seems more so, who do we want for the job?
Yeah, it's a huge one, and particularly when you look at how many players from our academy have gone on to be great prospects for the women's first team, it's a pivotal role, and they've got the best person, you'd argue, in the country for it. So, like, I know we kind of said we'd be positive, but it's not positive for positive sake. You're not trying to you know, talk someone up. Look at the CV, look at the way she's spoken about in the game, look at the regard she's held, look at the record of, you know, player development and working in elite environments with Athlone, who, you know, cup final aside, were absolutely amazing all year. And maybe the emotional toll of winning the league is why the cup final went the way it did. But it's a fantastic appointment for the club, and it probably has been that sea change of, you know, who will want a job like this to, you know, you probably have three or four outstanding candidates fighting for gigs like this. And it's unprecedented at times. So on the pitch, off the pitch, it's to be enjoyed, it's to be savoured, because to be able to attract that calibre of people to the football club is massive. Like, even when we were winning leagues for fun, we didn't have as cohesive and as impressive an organization in the background. Like, it was Ollie and Maria in the office if you remember, and everything was done on loose leaf paper and post-its, which is probably why we were fucked for so long afterwards. But yeah, if the best way I can describe it is, it feels like a real, like a club set up on the pitch and off the pitch for sustained success.
Yeah, you got that last line there, I think, is the most important one. Like, if this feels like now, there used to be like a team, you know, like we had a good team, or like, you know, got promoted and done those kind of things. But it feels like there's a proper club building now that's organised, that's not going to depend on, oh, like, what? Imagine what we can do if we qualify for Europe with that money. It seems more like now it's like it's a foundation underneath it, that the whole thing, it doesn't feel like the whole thing's on a knife edge all the time. And I think for everyone's sake, that's so important. Like, supporters won't panic. Staff don't need to panic. You know, just think having that solid foundation is just huge. And I don't like comparing, but like, look what's done for Rovers. Having that kind of professional element and having people in those roles, it's huge. Just, it feels massive, some of those appointments that we've made. Lorcan Fitzgerald in the door as well as the new under-20s men's manager. Dazzler, you're not Ben, you're Darren. Ben is who I was talking to.
Cleary, please answer.
Yes. Ben, do you buy into it being very important to have people who understand the club in roles like that?
Yeah, I think so. I was lucky enough to have the chance to speak to Lorcan before he was announced, and as he was being announced, I got to do the interview, and he speaks so positively of the environment, and he's like, that's what these young men need to know, what they're coming into. It's not just a team, it's a club, it's all connected, it's all one. You need to understand the culture, you need to, like you said, a big issue and something he'd like to address was he's going to treat the 20s like a first team environment, so it's not a culture shock when they go up. It is a very much a cohesive unit between the 20s and the first team, and it's like he's trying to set a clear pathway there. And look, that's only going to be positive for us when you see what's coming out of the academy and the 20 setup.
Yeah, and making a good appointment like that at that time is so important, because you need to capitalize on being the champions. Like, everyone should want to be here now. That should be the, so everyone wants to play for the champions. Like, if you had a toss up between the Dublin clubs now, you know, if you're obviously taking the money end of it out, we're the most appealing team there is. Champions of the whole country. Like, you can't get much better than that. Champions League football to come. It's all a bit mad. I mean, we were positive last year, Ben, about pretty much everything.
Yeah, I don't think we let anything kind of get to us, anything get us down, because it's no point, and sure, it all worked out in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, it didn't do too badly. Right, let's get down to what people really want to hear about. Players, signings, departures, all that good stuff. Dazzler, we'll start with the signings. You're generally kind of the first person outside that immediate staff that kind of gets to chat with a lot of these fellas, and you probably get a feel for them. Like, I'd be awaiting your kind of your input on some of these signings. So, look, I'll rattle through them quickly. Ryan O'Kane obviously has come in from Dundalk. Dan O'Kelly from Derry. Ellis Chapman from Sligo. And Meepo Adebiko from, well, he was unattached technically, but I think Fleetwood, wasn't it, was the last club, Dazzler. Who are you most excited to see?
They all are really nice people. And I know that sounds a bit fucking, who cares? But you can kind of get a sense for how happy someone is to be there, judging by how they respond to getting there. Like, some players are really just, they won't stop talking. They won't stop asking questions. They want to know as much as possible. Some want to get in and get out as quick as humanly possible. And generally, there's probably a correlation between the ones who are least interested and the ones who spend the shortest amount of time at the football club. And they're all impressive lads. They really seem bought into it. Like, when Chapman, we spoke to the other day, like, he had options in England. He probably didn't see himself staying in Ireland beyond, you know, the full season at Sligo. And he kind of explained this situation around how it ended up becoming, because he originally came on loan and then made it permanent. So people assumed he was really loving Sligo, but it was more so a situation around they had reached their limit, a loan player, so someone had to go on a permanent or contract. So him wanting to commit to another year in Ireland, away from home, away from family, speaks volumes. Ryan O'Kane, unbelievable amount of talent. Probably one of the bright sparks in that Dundalk team. Comes across really well. Apparently done very well in the preseason friendlies. Daniel Kelly, like, proper League of Ireland experience. Has had some bad luck with obviously an injury last year and not really settling well in Derry. But again, playing for a club that he wants to be at, back in Dublin, surrounded by people he knows and trusts. I think he'd be brilliant for us. And look, anyone who's been up to the AUL will tell you that Meepo is the second coming of Jason Byrne. So,
That's a loud statement. That's a loud statement.
It's a loud statement. I'll stand by it until I'm proven wrong or right.
Ben, who's caught your eye most?
Look, as Darren said, I think he pretty much nailed it there. Like, they're all really impressive signings. I think Chapman will be a big one. Like, O'Kane kind of has that X factor that the manager described, of where he's perfect at getting people off their seats and cheering for something. There's a lot to be looking forward to. I think one of the biggest is probably not maybe one of the signings, but a re-signing, Sean Boyd.
Yeah,
I'm probably waiting to get to that, but
no, but I'd like that one.
That's massive for me.
Yeah, it's massive. It's a massive commitment from Boydie, I think, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it just before Christmas or just after that he had signed, like, he was staying, but then he's obviously signed again since that one, if you know what I mean, or have I got that one wrong?
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Like, I think that, like, that's a massive thing when you've already agreed to stay and then you say, oh yeah, I'll stay for longer. Like, that speaks volumes. But I think with Boydie, and it was my favourite photo to come out of any of those celebrations, was the photo of him and the manager.
Yeah.
Like, I think Boydie's a great example of when you just give somebody a bit of love and give them a bit of, you know, like, Boydie was on the scrap heap according to people outside of the club. Like, I remember we signed Sean and people were going, what are they thinking? You know, he might play a handful of games, that'd be it. And he won't do anything else. Like, his impact.
Name one player who we signed who wasn't on a scrap heap.
Oh, like, no,
they were all written off. Do you remember Conor Kearns? Everyone was like, oh, Conor Kearns, Galway promotion. What's he doing here? This is the worst signing we could ever make. He's the best player and the best keeper in the country. But sure, Paddy, they gave him an award to prove it.
Paddy Parrott is the best defender in the country last year, and he was the same. When we signed him, it was, forget about it. He had been kind of outcast in Pats, and everyone was, look at that waste of money thereafter. And then he goes and does what he does. We'll get to it at some stage either way. With Meepo in particular, there's a lot of nonsense surrounding that signing about, oh, you know, if you can, you know, keep him interested and he's had so many clubs and that's never a good sign and blah, 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 blah. I have complete faith in the manager, in Joey, in the staff, that players do not sign for this club unless they are the right fit. And I would say 9 times out of 10 with signings so far, the staff have got it completely right. So I wouldn't have any doubts over anybody we sign. If anything, like, people are starting to panic, I think, about the lack of signings. But I think they're very shrewd, clever signings. They're kind of what we maybe lacked at times last year. But I've been seriously, seriously impressed with who we've brought in. Ben, outgoings-wise, look, I know a lot of people were really probably disappointed. Matty Smith is probably the biggest one, I would have thought. Most people were upset to see Matty go. Look, Griff has obviously gone. Liam Burt, Matty Smith, Dean Williams, and Aidan O'Brien more recently. Is there anyone there, Ben, that you're kind of looking at going, oh no, I can't believe we've lost them?
I think we've done really well to strengthen in the positions we've lost. I think it was just a case of where their race was kind of run here. They came in, they they did what was needed and probably time to just go our separate ways. I don't think that's too harsh to say. It was obviously tough for Matty, great fella. Like, they're all lovely people, but at the end of the day, if there was no kind of role for them, it's better than to go somewhere and fit in and find a place for them than to just sit here for the sake of being here.
Yeah, I think Matty in particular was really unlucky with injuries. So unlucky, like when he started to fire, remember he'd been playing really well, and wasn't it Sligo at home? He got that bad injury.
Then he came back from injury. Was it also in Sligo away? And he kind of retweaked it again when he had just come on.
Yeah, it was just. I feel with Matty in particular could be one of those you look back on and go, that could have just worked out so much better if he had a bit more luck. But I think as well, it was a big thing for me, Dazzler, that as players were leaving or it was being announced that players weren't re-signing, there was honestly none of them that I could have said, oh, thank God they're gone. Not about usually there'd be like a couple of bodies maybe that you're carrying or you'd be saying, oh, jeez, like he's no business being here at all. Didn't feel like that with any of the players that have left.
Yeah, I thought one of the maddest things was Keith Ward's interview with LOI Central, where kind of he played 6 minutes all season and I saw he's doing a live podcast. Oh, geez, here we go. He's probably bury the world, but he just talked about how much he loved it and, you know, maybe it would have worked out differently at a different time. But what was interesting was no one left with any kind of ill will. Like you'd chat to lads as they're going out because it's courtesy you speak about and just give them heads up on timelines and stuff of when things are announced. And everyone very, very gracious, spoke very well, no bitterness, no anger, and loved their time at the club. Probably maybe most of them wish it was longer, but again, it's just part of it. Like you people come and people go, and it's a ruthless enough business, but there's no one leaving that you could say didn't play a positive part at Shells last season and didn't deserve, you know, their place in that history book of champions. Like, we know what Liam Burt did across season, he was brilliant. Dean Williams, we don't beat Pats without him. Griff comes on at the end against Derry, and is, you know, has a massive role to play as the vice captain or one of the leaders across the year. And maybe things might have been different had the red card not come against Pats. Matty would have played a role in the remaining few games, but had played his part. You know, if it wasn't for his goal up in Dalymount, again, every goal mattered, every block, every clearance, every cock cross from Connor Kearns. I'm not sad when players go, because like there's no one that I'm there. Jeez, thank God they're gone. They were, you know, stealing the wage. They were good lads. I genuinely would wish them well in their next club. And I forgot Aidan O'Brien there. Obviously his goal in Dundalk, goal against Galway in the cup, massive, massive. Played his part too.
More I think about Aidan O'Brien, he's going to be one of those ones in years to come. You're going to go, jeez, remember that? Came for a couple of months, won a league, and then just trot off back over to England. Just wild. Absolutely mad. In league winners' medal, see us later. I know that one, wait, I know that was a family kind of thing. I know the family didn't move over here when he signed, and which must be so difficult for anyone. Never mind having a young child as well. So, no, it seems a bit kind of cheesy to say, but I'd wish them all the best. Obviously not against us, but to be no... put it to you this way, when we bump into any of them in any League of Ireland grounds this year, they'll get a good handshake and I hope you don't do well today, but I do hope you do well for the rest of the season. Re-signings. Ben.
They won't do the, because they'll pretend they don't know you, because they'll say that they get fined if they speak to anyone. Like a certain former Shells player told us last year, lying bastard.
A certain former goalkeeper?
I wasn't going to fucking I wasn't going to narrow it down that much.
Well, I completely...
Niall Burden.
Niall Burden. Jesus, don't be bringing me back to those days. Was he the keeper that couldn't fucking kick the ball?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, his goal kicks were taken by Paul Andrews.
Oh. Holy mother of God.
It was Paul Andrews, wasn't it?
Probably. Probably, I thought.
And that's the end of the podcast.
Yeah. You know what? That's bringing me back to the Longford pre-season friendly last year when we stood in that freezing cold Abbottstown and the game just became background to use trying to guess our starting 11s in certain matches in years gone by. We've had some grim, grim stuff.
Ah, we're pathetic losers. That's imagine standing there in the winter, in the cold, beating Longford 7-0 and... You're, and I think our left full for the third last game of the season in 2013 was Philly Hand.
Oh, geez, need to get a life, really, don't we?
Yeah.
Speaking of needing to get a life, pre-season friendlies. Do you put much stock in these results, Ben?
Results, I think it's just more about getting people up their fitness, getting minutes under people's belts. It's just, I think it's more important for that more than, look, I don't think anyone's going to look at a result against Waterford and say, or we're going back to back, or look at the result against Longford and say, ah, we're done. I think it's more about just getting people in with the first team and getting people up to scratch.
Yeah, and just on those friendlies, they obviously go up on FAI Connect. Don't presume anyone that's down as a trialist is a trialist. It's just people haven't been uploaded to the thing yet. So I see one person being like, oh, like five trialists are playing. No, there's not. Thank God. I think we're nearly there. We've obviously, the 7th of February is the President's Cup. That's the curtain raiser for the men's side of things. The 1st of March, women have the same game against Athlone, both games in Talca. Dazzler, President's Cup, do you go all out? Do you use it as a dry run for Derry at home, or are you still tinkering at that stage?
I think the last pre-season game has always been that kind of dry run. Last game under the lights, that's where it's as close as it should be to the opening week, so I'd probably use it in the same vein, in the same manner. I think it'd be a good way to to Ben's point earlier, like we'll be the champions until someone else is the champions. I think that's kind of the last time you can celebrate it, if that makes sense. Like there's a new season then to play for and it's about winning again. So I think that'll be a lovely day. That'll be a celebration. I think that will be a great occasion. It's one you're going to want to win because, look, it's not a Mickey Mouse game as it probably has found in the way it's kind of become in England. I think it'll be a proper, the best preseason game you can get as close to a real season game.
Are we going on the piss if we win?
Yeah, we are.
Well then, it's a real game. Then it's a proper
game. Oh, baby, we're back.
Dude, are we talking about the telly? I want to give a Richie Winter to someone.
Hold your horses, will you?
Oh, it's coming.
We're only 37 minutes in here.
Sorry.
We've got at least another... Ben, what do we usually go? About an hour and 10 when it's meant to be 40 minutes?
Yes, that's usually...
We won't be an hour and 10. We won't be.
Our usual is we'll get to 40 and we'll leave and then we're an hour in and we're giving out about someone. What did you call... You had a real go at Stephen Kenny once last season.
Did I?
Yeah, was it his mother brushes his hair or something?
Well, that's not my line. I can't take credit for that. I actually don't know who said that. It was a journalist. I do know that much. And they said that he's the type of fella, he has the look of a fella whose mother still brushes his hair, which I think is a fucking great line.
What a line.
And it's
he's
so true.
One of the journalists who wasn't kind to him when he was on the end of his Ireland reign. They'd had one or two spiky encounters, but what a line.
Is that why he refused to do his interview outside, because he was afraid of his hair getting wet?
No, he refused to do it inside because he feared the Watsons.
Oh, but he thought the room was bugged, did he?
Yeah. They're going to listen and hear everything that I say in a public interview that will be on telly in 30 seconds. What an aegis.
Oh, I can see that being the rivalry this year. I can see that being a very heated rivalry this year. And I thoroughly look forward to it. Before we get to where, well, to your Richie Winter, you seem like the only person that has one.
Yeah.
On the women's end of things, Ben, the outgoings particularly, there's a few big names there that have gone out the door, like straight away. The three that immediately come to my mind, Megan Smith-Lynch, Maggie Pearce and Christy Gray.
Yeah, it's, look, that's, as Darren said, that's football. That's kind of the business of it. It's people come and people go. It's kind of about what you do now and how you adapt to that. And all I would say is that's just three first team spots up for grabs. So who's hungry enough to go after it?
Yeah, 100%. And with it being quite a young squad, that was the other thing. I was kind of looking at it going, I'm not overly concerned. Like, there's an awful lot of young players there that have re-signed already that, you know, you'd be quite confident can, as you say, come in, fill the boots, and hopefully have a double next year. I fancy a reverse next year. I fancy a women's Premier Division title, and I fancy a cup run on the men's end.
You've said that for
I want years. My day out again in the Aviva, and I won't be wearing a poxy suit this time either, I can tell you.
Yes, because you will.
That was a bad look omen. That was a bad omen that day.
Oh, what are you going to wear?
Normal match gear.
He's going to wear his tracksuit, yeah.
And what are you going to wear to the banquet afterwards, the FAI Cup?
I'm going to do a Pat Fenlon on it. I'm going to wear the suit to the game, change into a tracksuit, and then put the suit back on at the end.
Can you wear football socks and tuck your suit trousers into a football
box? We were like disgraced politicians going around the Aviva that day.
No, certain Reggie was like a disgraced politician.
Can we start? When I upload these pods, Dazzler, can we start putting a photo like of something that we talk about during the episode? And can the one for this be that disgraceful photo of Reggie eating his fry in the cup final morning?
You have my permission.
Yes.
They're not remembering that very well. He was eating half of Darren's fry because he was too late to the breakfast.
Very true. Imagine being so hungover that you miss the pre-cup final breakfast. A disgrace. He's a disgrace. He's disappeared off the face of the earth as well, so I don't know what's going on there, but...
You got a girlfriend.
Oh, Jesus.
Episode one and there's already Reggie bashing.
Silly. Silly, silly, silly.
I think the players leaving is a good thing, right? And I'll tell you why. One of the biggest problems we've had in recent years is our best young players leave us because there's not enough first-team football opportunities. So you look at the quality of player that have left from the academy to join. It always seems like Bowes. Anyway, I think that's because there haven't been enough first-team opportunities. So you get punished for creating brilliant players if there isn't a first team to fit them into. So... absolutely, the players you mentioned due to your losses, but it creates an environment where, like, are the key players for Shells have been the key players for Shells for the last 6, 7, 8 years. So I think this will be a really good season to bring through the next Noel Murray, the next Rachel Graham, the next Pearl Slattery, and see if there's anyone able enough to step up and show any sign that they could be capable of doing that over the next 4, 5, 6 years. So I think it's actually a good thing because it will probably, hopefully, reduce the amount of players we lose to rivals because they have a better chance of playing first-team football.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. Evan Clancy in the door as well, of course. I think that's the only new arrival so far, isn't it? I would expect another couple in the door over the coming weeks. The women's side are obviously a little bit behind because their league starts that little bit later. So there's a bit more wiggle room there. I think we're almost there. Dazzler, you have a Richie Winter you're trying to get out. What is it? Come on, you're dying to get it out.
I had a Richie Winter. No, I didn't. I wanted to talk about TV.
Oh, I thought that's where your Richie Winter was going. Right, what do you want to talk about? I feel like an agony aunt here. Go on, what's on your mind? Caller, what's on your mind?
6797 FM 104. It's the Stephen Duty phone.
Darren Cleary. Go on.
Virgin, what do we think? 36 games a season? Is it good? Is it bad? Are we delighted? Are we happy?
You're never, like, more games but on the telly is never going to be a bad thing. What I would wonder is there a money kind of, I don't know what you call it, carrot for the clubs? Because I know. Kind of, no, didn't get shafted by RTE, but there wasn't really any TV money there to capitalize on. But now the more games are on the telly, the better. Look, I'd be lying. I don't give a shite about anybody else. All these people, oh yeah, it's great for the league. It's great for the league. It's great for the public because they get to see their champions more often. That's what it's great for. Other than that, I couldn't give a rat. If we're playing on a Saturday, will I be sitting on a Friday and watching the League of Ireland game? Yeah, absolutely. I definitely will. I would rather watch this league than any other. But yeah, I don't really want anyone else to gain from it. I hope we do. Just put us on the telly every single week. We'll sell out Talca. Everyone will watch us. And yeah, we'll go and win 5 in a row. There you go. Kind of shot that down for you, Dazzler. Ben, Virgin, good thing.
Yeah, I think it's only going to be a good thing for the league. As you said, look, I'm going to put that hat on. It is good to have us on telly every week, as you said. I think it's probably a big ball drop from RTE, maybe. I think Virgin came in and, look, their coverage isn't as fancy or as polished as an RTE coverage. They don't have the big fancy stage or, you know, the big fancy halftime bit in the ground. But here, they do a good job. They put it on the telly and I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be really positive.
Did you see it happening, Dazzler? No, obviously there was talk like the Virgin were going to try and, you know, get more games on board and RTE kind of weren't going to show any, but I'm probably a bit surprised that it has actually happened. It's one of those things you kind of every year you go, get rid of RTE, like they haven't been great, but it's probably a surprise.
Yeah, it would be a surprise. The manner of it's probably a surprise. Like, I feel sorry for some people at RTE. Like, there's a lot of people in there who've been really good for the league and have fought very hard for it and care about it. And when they come to Talca, they give it their best. And it's not their fault. It's not on sports bulletins or news bulletins. I think it's probably been let down from the top down, a little bit of indifference, probably a bit of apathy towards it. And, like, I do think it's a bit short-sighted from the FAI because RTE was their longest-standing broadcast partner and showed the league before it was cool to show the league. So to not do anything at all with them, so to just basically fuck them out and say, we're going with Virgin, who people have short memories too. Virgin didn't give a shite about the League of Ireland for 15 years. They did Aircom League Weekly and then pretended it didn't exist for 15 years. I do find that side strange. That they didn't try to find some way of having RTE involved in it, either by doing the cup or maybe RTE do certain games. Or, like, why couldn't you have a Monday game? Why couldn't you have two games on a week? Like, maybe RTE come in and do all the Monday games next season for the European teams, because there'll probably be a few big games involved in that. But I find the whole thing a little bit strange. Like, it is good that we'll have a TV game on every week, but I would say that RTE spent more money showing the games they showed last year than Virgin will spend next year, because they always had a very expensive production. And now they're just kind of fucked out.
Yeah. It's important as well, I think. Like, the average Joe doesn't really understand what goes on with that sort of, you know, dealing with TV companies. Like, I'm an average Joe. Like, I don't know what it takes to put a game on and, you know, the money and that end of things. So I do think sometimes we're guilty of just jumping on RTE and, you know, as the song goes. But as you say, Dazzler, like, the people that did put it on, like, it was always a solid job. That's a professional job, you'd probably say. I mean, like, it's good to have fresh stuff. I just don't hope I don't have to hear Brian Kerr every Friday.
You will.
Don't.
And Billy Pert.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Bring back Peter Collins.
You know what, right? Every time I see Vinnie Pert, I switch off immediately. Whether it's the radio or TV. No. Can't be doing it. He's my Richie Winter.
I have a Richie Baker.
Who's your Richie Baker?
I would like to give my Richie Baker to, I think, someone who does exemplary promotion of the league. I think they're so passionate about the league. that they won't just stop at supporting one team. They'll support two teams in the first division next season. And I just think that kind of dedication and love for two very, very, very strange places and no one want to go is worthy of commendation. So you know who you are, my Richie Baker, and I hope you have fun supporting two teams in the first. You'll be the first ever man to own a half and half jersey of those two teams.
Ben, who do you hate?
I'm actually fine. I'm all good. I'll let you have this one.
See, you're younger than us. You haven't started. You don't hate the world yet. You will. You will soon.
I'm going to be old and bitter one day.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming. No, I don't think I have any particular hatred for anyone at the moment.
Speaking of duty, not the only thing coming. Get your mind out of the gutter. You know what I meant. The stork will visit your house, Stephen.
Yes. There's another addition coming to my household. Right before Europe. Right before the Champions League. So, negotiations are ongoing. We've come to... We're close. We've nearly come to a deal. Just sorting out the dotting the I's and crossing the T's at the moment.
Announce duty.
Hopefully you'll see me in Azerbaijan or some far-fetched land for the first round of the Champions League qualifiers. The Champions League. Can you believe it? The Champions League music and talking. And I know everyone, it's the done thing now. You boo the chairman, you boo the Champions League music, you boo fucking no replays in FA Cup games anymore. But I am telling you, hearing the Champions League music in Tolga is very, very special. Dazzler, you'll remember it from back in the day. It is a great moment.
It won't be Shells Are Back until it's Niall Fitz screaming over, "Let me entertain you," going into the Champions League anthem.
Oh, good times. Good.
My Richie times. Winter. I have a Richie Winter duty.
So you hate somebody. Who do you hate?
People who comment under every post looking for signings.
Oh, yeah.
Please, please, please get a life. just get a life. Like, honestly, like, we could announce Shelbourne have secured €1 billion investment. We are now the richest club in global football.
Announce Wezzo.
Lionel Messi will sign next year. What about a signing now? What about Will Jarvis? Where's Will Jarvis?
What's worse, announce Wezzo or announce Will Jarvis?
Oh, they're both the same. Like you only usually put out a press release when you're doing something. But I've never been closer to being like, can we put out a press release saying we're not doing something?
Do you know, actually, something that bothers me, I have a Richie Winters. People who, you know, if like, there's a player who's like, there's loads of speculation about whether he's going to leave his club or not. And I'm talking like Champions League level stuff. So use Haaland as an example. And somebody will Photoshop Haaland into a Shells jersey and go, Shells new sign. And that's just not funny. All you've done is waste whatever, 5-10 minutes, whatever it is that you've taken to Photoshop his head onto that jersey. And you just look like an absolute stupid goon. Between that and like that, if a player gets released or something and then they tag Shells in it. Go and get this fella. It's not funny.
Good one. My favourite, I won't name and shame who it was, but I got a... Did anyone ever ring you on Facebook Messenger?
No. And if somebody did, I'd block them immediately.
Well, I was nearly tempted. I got a call on Christmas Day on Facebook Messenger of someone that I wouldn't speak to on the phone or regularly or at all, really. And I assumed it might have been a pocket. I said, all okay? You know, question marks. Like, just want to see Rian Tulkett, Will Jarvis. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Oh my God. I'm not in Tulkett because it's Christmas Day. Get a life.
The lesson to take from this podcast, get a life. You know who you are. If you're sitting there now saying, are they talking about me? Yes, we probably are. I'm thinking of the Dr. Hibbert now meme, just pointing straight at you. You're who we're talking about. Anyway, that took a very weird turn.
Questions need to be asked. Why hasn't Keith Ward signed?
Don't start. Right, gents, we will be back next week. Well, Ben, me and you will be back next week. Dazzler, are you going to pop in again? Or are you just doing your one and done?
This will be my one and done appearance. Duty, what I will ask, more player interviews next year. I want to hear the in-depth on Paddy Barrett.
I also want to go back to Conor Kearns and talk about his living situation in Galway.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. All to come. I'll try and get those two boxed off anyway. But, men, thank you very much for giving up your evenings. I do appreciate your time.
Pleasure as always. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure was all mine. The pleasure was all mine. Thanks, gents. And sure, we'll see everyone.
Instead of red sails, can I make a request?
Do you want to make your request offline or now?
No, I'll make it now.
What is it?
Can you play We Are the Champions? Time after
time. I'll see what I can do. But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. And everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses.